The Fourth Century, Chapters 71 through 80. Number 71. To sit in the throne of God is the most supreme estate that can befall a creature. It is promised in the Revelations, but few understand what is promised there, and but few believe it. Number 72. To sit in the throne of God is to inhabit eternity. To reign there is to be pleased with all things in heaven and earth, from everlasting to everlasting, as if we had the sovereign disposal of them. For he is to dwell in us, and we in him, because he liveth in our knowledge, and we in his. His will is to be in our will, and our will is to be in his will, so that both being joined and becoming one, we are pleased in all his works as he is. And herein the image of God perfectly consists. No artist makes a throne too wide for the person. God is the greatest and divinest artist. Thrones proper and fit for the persons are always prepared by the wisest kings. For little bodies, bodily thrones, for spirits, invisible. God's throne is his omnipresence, and that is infinite, who dwelleth in himself, or in that light which is inaccessible. The omnipresent, therefore, and the eternity of God are our throne, wherein we are to reign forevermore. His infinite and eternal love are the borders of it, which everywhere we are to meet and everywhere to see forevermore. In this throne our Savior sits, who is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the Amen, and the faithful witness, who said, The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. In him the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. If that be too great to be applied to men, remember what follows. His church is the fullness of him that fills all in all. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him for our sakes. And if yet it seems too great to be enjoyed by the surpassing excellency of his eternal power, it is made more than ours. For in him we shall more enjoy it than if it were infinitely and wholly all in ourselves. Number 73. If anything yet remaineth that is dreadful or terrible or doubtful, that seems to startle us, there is more behind that will more amaze us. For God is infinite in the expression of his love, as we shall all find to our eternal comfort. Objects are so far from diminishing that they magnify the faculties of the soul beholding them. A sand in your conception conforms your soul and reduces it to the size and similitude of a sand. A tree apprehended is a tree in your mind. The whole hemisphere and the heavens magnify your soul to the wideness of the heavens. All the spaces above the heavens enlarge it wider to their own dimensions. And what is without limit makes your conception illimited and endless. The infinity of God is infinitely profitable as well as great, as glorious as incomprehensible, so far from straitening that it magnifies all things, and must be seen in you, or God will be absent. Nothing less than infinite is God, and as finite he cannot be enjoyed. Number 74. But what is there more that will more amaze us? Can anything be behind such glorious mysteries? Is God more sovereign in other excellencies? Hath he showed himself glorious in anything besides? Verily, there is no end of all his greatness. His understanding is infinite, and his ways innumerable. How precious, says the psalmist, are thy thoughts to me, O God. When I would count them, they are more than can be numbered. There is no man that reckons them up in order unto thee. O my Lord, I will endeavor it, and I will glorify thee for evermore. The most perfect laws are agreeable only to the most perfect creatures. Since therefore thy laws are the most perfect of all that are possible, so are thy creatures. And if infinite power be wholly expressed, O Lord, what creatures shall we become? What divine, what illustrious beings, souls worthy of so great a love, blessed forever, made worthy, though not found. for love either findeth or maketh an object worthy of itself. For which cause Picus Mirandula admirably saith in his tract De Dignitate Hominis, I have read in the monuments of Arabia, that Abdallah the Saracen, being asked what in this world was most admirable, answered, Man, than whom he saw nothing more to be admired. Which sentence of his is seconded by that of Mercurius Trismegistus. Man is a great and wonderful miracle. Ruminating upon the reason of these sayings, those things did not satisfy me, which many have spoken concerning the excellency of human nature, as that man was a messenger between the creatures, lord of inferior things, and familiar to those above, by the keenness of his sense, the piercing of his reasons, and the light of knowledge, the interpreter of nature, a seeming interval between time and eternity, and the inhabitant of both, the golden link or tie of the world, yea, the Hymenaeus marrying the Creator and his creatures together, made, as David witnessed, a little lower than the angels. All these things are great, but they are not the principal, that is, they are not those which rightly challenge the name and title of most admirable. And so he goes on, admiring and exceeding all that has been spoken before concerning the excellency of man. Why do we not rather admire the angels and the choirs above the heaven? At length I seem to understand why man was the most happy and therefore the most worthy to be admired of all the creatures, and to know that estate, which in the order of things he does enjoy, not only above the beasts, but above the stars, and that might be envied even of the supra-celestial spirits. Number 75. The Supreme Architect and our Everlasting Father, having made the world, this most glorious house and magnificent temple of his divinity, by the secret laws of his hidden wisdom, he adorned the regions above the heavens with most glorious spirits, the spheres he enlivened with eternal souls, the dreggy parts of the inferior world he filled with all kinds of herds of living creatures. But his work being completed, he desired some one that might weigh and reason, and love the beauty, and admire the vastness of so great a work. All things, therefore, being, as Moses and Timaeus witness, already finished, at last he thought of creating man. But there was not in all the platforms before conceived any being after whom he might form this new offspring, nor in all his treasures what he might give this new son by way of inheritance, nor yet a place in all the regions of the world, wherein this contemplator of the universe might be seated. All things were already full. All things were already distributed into the various orders of supreme, middle, and inferior. But it was not the part of infinite power to fail as defective in the last production. It was not the part of infinite wisdom, for want of counsel, to fluctuate in so necessary an affair. It was not the part of infinite goodness or sovereign love that he, who should be raised up to praise the divine bounty in other things, should condemn it in himself. The wisest and best of workmen appointed, therefore, that he, to whom nothing proper to himself could be added, should have something of all that was peculiar to everything, and therefore he took man, the image of all his work, and placing him in the middle of the world, spake thus unto him. Number 76. O Adam, we have given thee neither a certain seat nor a private face, nor a peculiar office, that whatsoever seat or face or office thou dost desire, thou mayest enjoy. All other things have a nature bounded within certain laws. Thou only art loose from all, and according to thy own counsel, in the hand of which I put thee, mayest choose and prescribe what nature thou wilt to thyself. I have placed thee in the middle of the world, that from thence thou mayest behold on every side more commodiously everything in the whole world. We have made thee neither heavenly nor earthly, neither mortal nor immortal, that being the honored former and framer of thyself, thou mayest shape thyself into what nature thyself pleaseth. Number 77. O infinite liberality of God the Father, O admirable and supreme felicity of man, to whom it is given to have what he desires, and to be what he wishes. The brutes, when they are brought forth, bring into the world with them what they are to possess continually. The spirits that are above were, either from the beginning or a little after, that which they are about to be to all eternities. God infused the seeds of every kind of life into man. Whatever seeds everyone chooses, those spring up with him, and the fruits of those shall he bear and enjoy. If sensual things are chosen by him, he shall become a beast. If reasonable, a celestial creature. If intellectual, an angel and a son of God. And if being content with the lot of no creatures, he withdraws himself into the center of his own unity, he shall be one spirit with God, and dwell above all in the solitary darkness of his eternal Father. Number 78. This Picus Mirandula spake in an oration made before a most learned assembly in the famous university. Any man may perceive that he permits his fancy to wander a little wantonly after the manner of a poet, but most deep and serious things are secretly hidden under his free and luxuriant language. The changeable power he ascribes to man is not to be referred to his body, for as he widely said, neither doth the bark make a plant, but its stupid and nothing-perceiving nature, neither doth the skin make a beast, but his brutish and sensual nature, neither doth separation from a body make an angel, but his spiritual intelligence. So neither doth his rind or coat or skin or body make a man to be this or that, but the interior stupidness or sensuality or angelical intelligence of his soul make him accordingly a plant, a beast, or an angel. The deformity or excellency is within. Number 79. Neither is it to be believed that God filled all the world with creatures before he thought of man, but by that little fable he teaches us the excellency of man. Man is the end, and therefore the perfection of all the creatures. But as Eusebius Pamphilus saith, in the Nicene Council, he was first in the intention, the last in the execution. All angels were spectators as well as he. All angels were free agents as well as he, as we see by their trial and the fall of some. All angels were seated in as convenient a place as he. But this is true, that he was the end of all and the last of all, and the comprehensive head and the bond of all, and in that more excellent than all the angels. As for whom the visible and invisible worlds were made, and to whom all creatures ministered, as one also that contains more species in his nature than the angels, which is not, as some have thought, derogatory, but perfective to his being, it is true also that God hath prevented him, and satisfies all wishes, in giving him such a being as he now enjoys, and that for infinite reasons it was best that he should be in a changeable state, and have power to choose what himself listed, for he may so choose as to become one spirit with Almighty God. Number 80. By choosing, a man may be turned and converted into love, which, as it is an universal sun, filling and shining in the eternity of God, so it is infinitely more glorious than the sun is, not only shedding abroad more amiable, arid, delightful beams, illuminating and comforting all objects, yea, glorifying them in the supreme and sovereign manner, but is of all sensibles the most quick and tender, being able to feel like the long-legged spider at the utmost end of its divaricated feet, and to be wholly present in every place where any beam of itself extends. The sweetness of its healing influences is inexpressible, and of all beings, such a being would I choose to be forever, one that might inherit all the most exquisite manner and be the joy of all in the most perfect measure. In this set of chapters, please refer to the text if you want to view the Latin expressions. I am unable to read and pronounce Latin correctly, but I believe in the text the translation was in English, so so you did not miss any of the written portion except for the Latin.